Praise the Lord. Come on, let's go ahead and give Jesus a good hand of praise this beautiful Sunday morning. Come on, let's give him a good hand of praise. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, here this morning, right now, we have some testimonies, or we have a testimony first, and that testimony is someone that came right here out of the very own city of Milwaukee. Amen. God is reaching out of treasures out of darkness. Praise the Lord. How many know that God's still doing miracles? Amen. And as God is doing miracles, you can just see the life that God transformed right before your eyes. And I had the privilege, I never forget the day when my pastor and I, he took me, we prayed for this individual, and I can be honest, and in my mind I said, I took my faith out the way, and I just said, okay, pastor, whatever you say, because this individual, this brother, I've seen many, many cases, and his case was up there worse, and I said, okay, God, you know, whatever you want to do, and it was a miracle. And so every time I see this man, I call him the angel because he has a little glow, little aura upon his life. And he was lost for years. He'll share his testimony. But I want all of us, as we hear the testimony, just to know that God is touching lives, performing miracles, and that he could do it in anybody's lives, family member, your friend, neighbor, whoever, even ourselves. So right now we're going to have Brother Lalo as he comes up and shares with us here this beautiful Sunday morning his testimony.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I just want to thank God for my salvation. God is faithful. How many know we serve a faithful God? Even at times when we're unfaithful, at times I'm undeserving and unworthy, he remains faithful, and he's deserving and he's worthy. Amen. I'm just grateful for my life and what he's been doing within my life. Amen. Like he said, man, I was lost. I was lost and I was hurting, you know, addicted to heroin, addicted to crack. And I'm just going to keep it straight up. I was addicted and I was stuck. I had no way out, but I knew that one day I called on God. One day I called on Jesus and he saved me. Come on, somebody. I went there in the men's home, right there where Pastor Charlie came out of, you know, Pastor, right there in Salinas. Amen. First, I want to give greetings from Salinas too. Pastor Henry wants to send his greetings. Amen. But right there where Pastor Charlie, right there in Salinas, there's pastors still being raised out of there. We're still raising men. Amen. But I was lost. And I gave my life to God, and I've never been the same. And I would never be the same. It's because of his grace and his mercy upon my life. Amen. I want to thank you, Pastor Charlie, for your faithfulness. Amen. For the man of God that you are. Amen. You're a good leader. I look up to you. I love you. And I thank you for allowing me this privilege to just share. Amen. And trusting me behind this pulpit. And lately, these last couple days, as you know, we're having a funeral. One of my close, my cousins, you know what I mean? He's a brother to me. I lost him. But it's been hard. It's been hard. And I had a heaviness. I've been heavy. Excuse me. I've been heavy. But how many know that? When I felt heavy, I locked myself in a room in my grandma's house, and I began to pray. I began to seek God, and I felt peace. He says to cast your burdens onto him because he cares for you. So I've been feeling heavy, and I want to ask you guys to keep my family in prayer. The Zamora family and the Alvarez family, amen, for comfort to God to just move. And I pray that through these times, it's because this generation is lost. This generation is messed up. Amen. But it's up to us. It's up to us to go out and help and impart into those people. And I pray, God, I pray that this be a wake-up call. I pray that this be a wake-up call, that I'm going to this funeral today. And I pray that this be a wake-up call for people to wake up and change their lives and turn from sin and turn to God, because he's faithful. It's one of the hardest things. I never been up here to share or to speak in a time like this, and it's difficult. It's difficult for me, but I'm gonna fight through it. I'm more than a conqueror. I believe in what God is doing. I trust in him, and I'm not gonna waver. I won't waver. Amen. So I just want to say God bless you guys. I love you guys. Amen.
Stay up here. Stay up here. Just want to take a few more seconds. Didn't mention. I think he remained a little bit humble right now, but I seen him lost heroin addiction, crack addiction, as he mentioned. But he's been serving the Lord now faithfully for about 3 or 4 years, yeah. And he graduated the men's home. Yeah. Amen. So he came out the men's home. Yeah. So the men's home works, and he not only came out the men's home, he remained faithful, had a job the right way, started tithing, started giving. He met a beautiful sister, his wife now, right, in the Lord. Now they have a beautiful child. I think his name is Zeal.
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 Zeal, yeah.
And every time I ask him, he says, because you got to have zeal for the Lord. So that's his passion. And it is going on to his children's generation. And now they have him as a director right there in Victor Irish Salinas. So this is what the Lord can do with a surrendered vessel. And I talk to him and we remain close, but I look forward to working with him. And he's a brother in the Lord that we lock arms with. And so I've been running the home for a while, and I tell him, now you got to run the home over there for that long. Praise the Lord. No. All right. But yeah, let's give Brother Lalo a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. And so right now we're going to have someone else also, but he's going to share 5 minutes of fire. And this young man is 27 years old. He's also right here from the city of Milwaukee. Amen. And his family's here. His mother helps run one of the life groups. So they're being used, and his life is being touched from the Lord. And he's been saved now for going on also about 3 years now. And came also through our Victory Men's Home, graduated right there, stayed in the things of the Lord. Now he's currently helping in the worship in the God's Anointed Now generation. So help us welcome Brother Hitman as he comes up and shares here this morning.
How many know God is an awesome God? He's such an awesome God. No matter what we're going through, he always is going to show up on time. It's not our time, and we fail to forget that because we're only human. But, you know, first of all, I would like to just thank God for my salvation. I want to thank Victory Outreach Milwaukee for staying strong, staying on the foundation of Pastor Sonny and reaching the world for Jesus Christ, because it's a hurting world out there. And we're called to go reach those people and to touch their lives. And I just want to thank my pastor for allowing me to come and take a part away and pour into the other part of the body of Christ, because you guys know that it's not just one church, but it's a big body, and we're worldwide. So we have to stick together and stay strong in a time. You know, my cousin is gone, but he's not gone in vain. And we're going to come together in love, and we're not going to let the devil have any laughter in this moment. We're going to come together with love. We're going to beat him with love. It says in the Bible, you overcome evil with good. So we're going to overcome this with good. And that's what we're going to do. And if you can get to your Bibles, it's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And it says, my old self has been crucified with Jesus. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son. How many of you know that when you get saved, you start to become crucified? It's not easy to be saved. You start to get stuck to that cross. First, he gives you the cross to carry, and it's heavy sometimes. And then you start getting deeper in your faith. And then next thing you know, your hands start to get stuck, and you're like, God, what is going on? I feel like I'm nailed to this situation. I feel like I can't get out, Lord. And he's like, you're imparting with me. You're being crucified because I died for you. But guess what? I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna raise you up. I'm gonna do something for your family. I'm gonna give you hope and a future. And I rose from the dead so that I can help your life. So now I'm going to rise all your situations from the dead. I'm going to talk to those dry bones in the valley, and I'm going to bring it back to life. I'm going to bring those passions that you had back to life. This is my city. I'm from Milwaukee. I'm not letting the devil come to where my family is and try to destroy things. No, I'm coming. I didn't come here to have fun. I came here for war. I came here to let them know that I'm not going back to that old ways. I'm not going back to smoking. I'm not going back to drinking. I'm not going back to those things that killed my soul. No, I'm staying with Jesus. You can't take me from Jesus. I am with God. So I stand strong on the foundation. Who be against me if God is for me? Where is he? Nowhere. Because Jesus is with me, and he walks with me wherever I go. Wherever I go, his peace endures forever. I just ask for his peace. And I want to get into another scripture. another scripture, which is very important, because he went through that pain for us. We have no reason to complain. We can't be complaining. And we can't condemn ourselves with sin. What did my king die for if I'm going to allow sin to condemn me? He died so his arms can be open so that we can come communicate with him. We need to stop being afraid when we sin, and we need to start going to God and asking him to help us overcome it. And that's the way that we win. But it's not our victory, it's his, and we walk in it. Now it says in John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. That was God in full man form, and he cried. Real man cry. God cries. I don't want to hear that tough talk out here. They're confusing the young generation. Oh, you're crying. Oh, that's not strong. You're not a man. They're lying to you. Cry. Let it out. Because what happens when you cry, you receive spiritual strength. And the thing, when you cry, guess what? You're letting it out and you're giving it to God. When you don't cry, you're holding it in. You're being prideful. Give it to God so he could be God. Man, I'm just so grateful to have an opportunity to be here. And guys in the home, I'm a graduate of the home. I went through it. Amen. You get accused of doing something you didn't do. Guess what? Amen. Carry that cross. Don't be scared to carry that cross. Amen. You amen it. You know what? I was staff. It wasn't easy being staff either. Because being staff, I had to learn how to deal with everybody else's problems and still worry about myself. So you got to trust this place. Trust the home, because look what it did for me. It brought me all the way from Milwaukee, Wisconsin to Salinas, California. God is working a miracle in my life. I didn't even know how to play the piano. I didn't even know how to play a chord. But God said, keep doing it. Keep doing it. I will give you. The Holy Ghost taught me how to play that thing. I didn't know how to play anything. I didn't even know how to put a suit on. I never even wore a suit before. But God is great. God is great. And he's going to do something. He's not even finished with me. And he's not finished with none of you. He's not finished with none of you. He needs you. Sometimes you got to turn down the world. Sometimes you got to turn down your phone. Sometimes you got to turn down your friends. Sometimes you got to turn down your family. But you got to turn up Jesus. Who wants to turn up in the name of Jesus today? Who wants to turn up in the name of Jesus? Who wants to walk around and see that man right there? Hey, guess what? That dude that's hurting right there and you got a pocket full of money, that's Jesus and he's testing you. Every time I see a homeless person on the street, I see an angel. I'm like, oh, you're testing me today, God. Okay, I got to pass this test. Let me give him some money and let me pray for him. Because I want to build my rewards in heaven. This will pass away. This ain't real. These clothes you're wearing ain't real. This body ain't your real body. You got a spirit and a soul, like Pastor Charlie said in the green room. What is it? Mind, body, soul, and spirit. And you got to learn how to intertwine this thing. And which one was first, Pastor Charlie? The spirit. Come on, somebody. Come on. The spirit. All right, and I just want to pray out. Father God, I just thank you for using me. I pray that everybody here receives something, Father God, and we get an abundance of the Holy Spirit. And wherever our hurting is, Father God, wherever we're weak, that's where you're strong. And we pray that we just give you our weakness so that we can become strong in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand all over this place as we worship the Lord here this morning. Amen. How many know God's moving here within this place? So let's continue to allow Him to move within our hearts. Why don't we lift our hands? We're lifting our hands to Jesus. It's Brother Hitman, Brother Lalo, we're sharing. When you want to be touched of the Lord, to receive as they received. Amen. Let's go ahead and worship the Lord.
The Lord's making His way right now. He's making His way within your heart, within your thinking. Because He's the way, the truth, and the life. And He's making His way right now in your heart, making His way within your situation that you're currently facing right now. But He's the miracle worker. He's able to do what we're not able to do. He's even able to do what we're not able to do when we don't deserve it. Because he's not only a way maker, but he's a way maker of grace and mercy. Father, here this day we thank you. We love you for your presence, for your promises. And I pray that you touch every man, every woman, every youth member here this day present, and those viewing through Facebook, Lord Father God. The different states that are viewing on right now, Lord, that they be touched right there in their own very living rooms, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good, good clap offering here this day. Amen. If you felt him working already through the worship, amen, I believe you're going to get your breakthrough here this day through his word. Amen. Let's give the Lord another good clap offering. Worship team, you may have your seats. Great job. And you may have your seats as well on this beautiful Sunday morning. It is a privilege to be here behind the pulpit here this day. It's a privilege to have Hitman and Brother Lalo here with us this day that were formerly here from Milwaukee, amen. But in order for them to get the help they needed, they had to get out of Milwaukee, amen. All the way to Salinas, California, amen. My home church, amen. So it's an honor to speak here this day. Hitman, Brother Lalo, I thank you for your testimonies and allowing people from Milwaukee to know that they can make it. Amen. I also want to clarify, Pastor Felipe said that Louis Jr. was Pastor Nick's son. That's his brother. Amen. So it's Brother Louis Sr.'s son that has passed away. Amen. So I just want to make that correction right there. Amen. But as we get ready for the Word of God here this day, as we go to His Word, amen. Still speaking on the theme on a time to recognize Jesus. I still believe in my spirit, soul, mind, and body that there's no greater time in recognizing Jesus than right now. Not mañana, but right now. If there's a time for us to recognize Jesus, it's right now. And I believe through the testimonies, through the praise, through the worship, he has a way of stirring our faith to start recognizing that he's still wanting to do something within our lives. And he lets you know within your life that he paid a price in full for you not only to have salvation, but to have victory that salvation brings. A resurrection power victory, amen? So here this day, before I start, a real dear friend of mine, Pastor Robert Perez from Salinas, California, Sister Femia being his wife, very dear, dear friends of mine that I grew up with in the church there, along with Sylvia and Roy and the family, amen. We send our condolences here from Victor Outreach, Milwaukee, Sister Femia and family. There's no words to be said about Robert but that he's just a great, solid man of God. Since the first day I met him 23 years ago, he was solid. He was solid, never spoke out of turn. He was a humble brother in the Lord, willing to do anything and everything to help the church, to help Pastor Herb back at that time. And now Pastor Henry and Sister Angela, amen, there in Victor Outreach Salinas. So we send our condolences there to Sister Femia and family and friends and loved ones and all those that knew Brother Robert and for the great, great brother he was and that he is in heaven right now. Amen. The title of this morning's message is A Time to Recognize Jesus Through Action. Tell your neighbor, Pastor going to be talking about an action message today. How many were about action when we were lost and bound? Amen? That would have been foolish for us to claim that we were this and that in the world with no action behind it. Amen? It's the same thing in Christ. To claim this and this in Jesus with no Jesus action behind it. Let's get into the word of the Lord here this day. We're living in end times right now. I'm going to be nice throughout the whole message. Maybe tough, but nice. Amen? I will say I need to be tough because we're living in tough times. Amen? A time to recognize Jesus through action. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12 will be the opening scripture. If you not have your Bible, every verse will be on the screens as well. Those viewing through Facebook, it will be there right on the screen as well of your TV or your phone. Amen. And the Bible reads, wisdom and money can get you almost anything. I'm going to read that again. Wisdom and money can get you almost anything. But only wisdom can save your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor for this precious time, Lord, to be able to preach your gospel, for your sons and daughters to be able to hear your word, that their faith will be awakened here this day, Lord, that they would be able to answer the call upon their lives. We thank you for this moment, Lord, for allowing us to be in your temple. We thank you for your grace and mercy, for allowing us to be able to view through Facebook here this day. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here Solomon speaking, looking back upon his life, looking back upon all he saw as the king of Israel. And if anybody would really know how to speak on the two subjects of one being wisdom, it would be Solomon. For when the Lord asked him, what is it that you want? He asked for wisdom and God gave it to him. So if anybody knew the power of what the wisdom of God was and is able to do, it would have been Solomon. But also, if anyone would have known about having big money, long money, it was Solomon. He was one of the wealthiest, amen? The silver and the gold and the herds and the flocks and everything he owned. So if anybody knew everything there was to know about wisdom, it was Solomon. And if anybody knew what it was to be able to know about the subject called money, it was Solomon. So in the word, Solomon speaks to your life and my life on this beautiful Sunday morning that wisdom and money can get you just about anything. But he was careful not to say everything. So here, Solomon, as he was speaking, he was making a comparison between wisdom and money. And he was saying that the both, that they had power. So much power that wisdom and money can get you just about almost anything. But he knew well that many were chasing money and remaining the same, based on their wisdom, based on how they acquired money, whether it was hustling on a street corner or having a legit job. Solomon knew that the majority were chasing money. He also knew that wisdom was greater than money. He knew that the wisdom of God was able to save your life. In other words, money ain't able to save your life. And yes, it can get you a lot of things, but it can't get you everything that you're lacking within your life right now, that you're wanting to change within your life. Money's not capable of doing that. Money can't even save you. But he goes on to say, but only wisdom can save your life. I want to draw on the word wisdom here this day, on the importance of not only having godly wisdom, but being able to apply godly wisdom. You see, I see as Solomon saw, I see a lot of people, amen, not only thinking about money, but I see a lot of people applying a lot of action to get money. You see, it's kind of hard to have good money or little money if you don't do nothing. It calls for you to go to work. Some work longer hours than others. But I don't care how good you are at that job you go to and how well known you are. Employee of the month. If you don't go to work that week, you ain't getting paid. Because if you want money, there needs to be action that follows. If you want to be a recipient, not only of the wisdom of God, but if you want the wisdom of God to work within your life, you're going to have to apply it, just like you got to go to work to be able to be the recipient of money. And here Solomon makes a comparison between wisdom and money and says it can almost get you anything you want. But he draws to the word wisdom is the one that can save your life. One person I placed here in my notes, applying God's wisdom within their life has more power than you think. When you apply God's wisdom within your life, you're going to get paid. If a worldly boss can pay you at the end of the week, why can't our Heavenly Father give us power when we apply His wisdom? And we need all to start somewhere in applying God's wisdom. One person applying God's wisdom within their life has more power than you think. And I confirm that with scripture found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 19. And the Bible reads, one wise person is stronger than 10 leading citizens of a town. Not just stronger than 10 people in town, but it's making a comparison of one wise person applying godly wisdom is stronger not just than 10 people, but 10 leading citizens of the town called Milwaukee. Tells us that there's a greater power here this day in the church of God than there is at the courthouse downtown where the judge resides, where lawyers reside. Because the Bible tells us one wise person is stronger than 10 leading citizens of a town. Wisdom. To have that power, your wisdom that has been given to you and I from God needs to be applied. It needs to be applied. I believe a lot of times we feel weak instead of strong for lack of applying godly wisdom within our life. We're going through things and we'll miss church, but we won't miss work. Because we know in order to get paid, there needs to be an action called going to work. But the Bible tells us that wisdom is greater than money. The Bible tells us that wisdom is able to save your life. It's greater than money. So why, when the pressure's on, can we still go to work but not come to church? I can't. I believe a lot of times we feel weak instead of strong for lack of applying godly wisdom. How many of you have ever had a lot of money and be all messed up? Still be in lack. It can get you a lot of things that you want, but money don't have the power to get you what you need that only God can give you through applying godly wisdom. I place in my notes, I can't understand why when one has the opportunity to change their life, they don't. We all have an opportunity here this day, just like Lalo did and like Hitman did. They weren't considered those that were to succeed, successful. What happened? They were chasing the money. They thought they were getting money. They thought they were coming up. But they were being deceived by the enemy. It was until they entered the rehab and started hearing the Word of God, started learning the Word of God, started applying the Word of God, where they were able to become strong and no longer weak, no longer deceived, but strong. Why? They went to the rehab without a dollar in their pocket. Money was not in the equation. It was the wisdom of God, the Word of God that was being preached, the Word of God that was being learned, the Word of God that is now being applied. And what took place? Their lives were empowered to testify of the goodness of God. Do they just have acquired godly wisdom? No. Brother Lalo now is the director of the home. He's a doer in the church. Brother Hitman, he's on the worship team. He's a doer in the church. He's applying godly wisdom that he said the Holy Ghost gave him. He didn't go to Salinas, California, knowing how to play piano. That would have been a little weak with the title and testimony and probably nickname he had here on the streets of Milwaukee. Hitman plays the piano. But now he's at the top of his lungs saying, "The Holy Ghost, tell me how to play that thing." See, when the Holy Ghost kicks in, you don't care who's looking, who's listening, because when the Holy Ghost kicks in, he knows he's able to testify that he is no longer the same man that used to run the streets in Milwaukee. He has been transformed. He has found that an applied godly wisdom is stronger than the money from the hood. I can't understand why when one has the opportunity to change their life, they don't. And you know the main reason why they don't? Money. Money. The Bible says it's the root of many evils. That's when it's used incorrectly. You can have money and it can make you do things you know you shouldn't be doing. It's the root of many evils. The Bible says you either serve mammon, which is money, or God. You're going to have to make a decision. Money or godly wisdom? See, godly wisdom applied within your life will bring the money. And then it'll bring you to allow you to use money correctly as a blessing from God. Question. Now let's go back. I can't understand why one has the opportunity to change their life, they don't. It's not just me saying it no more. Brother Lalo said it, he's from Milwaukee. Brother Hitman said it, and he's from Milwaukee. They come suited and booted here this morning. You have an opportunity this day to receive the word, godly wisdom, and then to apply it within your life. Scripture, go back to that scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 19, please. One wise person is stronger than 10 leading citizens of a town. There's power in godly wisdom being applied in one's life. The odds changing from negative to positive within your favor. The odds are always against us, whether we have money or not. But when we apply godly wisdom within our lives, the odds shift, they change. And all of a sudden, we're stronger than 10 leading citizens of this city. By applying God's words, God's wisdom. Are you feeling strong here this morning? Or are you feeling weak? Lalo and Hitman are here for a funeral. They're mourning right now, but they had something to yell about, jump about, because they're feeling strong. Because of the one that has saved their life through the wisdom that comes from Christ and not of our own. Question, is it really easier to stay the same? Is it really easier to stay the same? Or is it just a habit I put in my notes, something you know how to do well? Even though it's negative. Is it really easier to stay the same, chasing money? Is it really easier? Solomon looked back over all the years of his life. He reflected. He took an inventory. He seen it in his life. But then he was able to see it in all the people's life. The importance in chasing money. And he says in his word here this day that it can't save you. I always tell the man graduating, going to second phase, if you get a job that offers $25 an hour, yeah, pastor, that sounds good. But you're going to miss all the church services. And you got to make a decision using godly wisdom, because it's stronger than money is. Then the other one's paying minimum wage. What's minimum wage out here right now? $7.25. Shoot, ain't working for nobody for $7.25. But they come to me and say they got a, but Pastor, I already got a job. It only pays $7.25, but I'll be able to make prayer night, Friday night, Sunday service, the streets. Pastor, I don't know what to do. Humble yourself and take that $7.25 minimum wage, because God ain't going to keep you there, because you're going to apply godly wisdom, and he's going to give you the greater money when you're able to handle that greater money. Is it really easier to stay the same? Romans 12:2, very familiar scripture, says, reading out of the NLT translation, the Bible reads, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then, and only then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. How many know somebody that's saved but still thinking very worldly? Talking still very, very worldly. They're saved, but the godly wisdom they have received from the Lord is not being applied. They're running with money, but yet their thinking is still the same, even though they have been saved. As the praise and worship was taking place, as the testimonies were taking place, as I'm preaching right now, God, the person of the Holy Spirit, will challenge your thinking. Right now, you're thinking, man, why Pastor got to preach this message, man? Come on. Why can't he go to Genesis, to the beginning? It's in there too, sin. It's in there too. God, as I preach here this day, the person of the Holy Spirit has a way of challenging the way you're thinking lately and thinking right now. Getting thoughts going this way, one's pulling you this way. The enemy say, don't listen to him. He don't know what he's talking about. He was a drug addict. He needs godly wisdom. And the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, you shouldn't be thinking like that no more. You know God's word. You know scripture. You know you're wrong. And this battle within your thinking is taking place right now. What you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, is taking place right now. That's what the presence of the Lord does. It challenges your thinking to where, whether it's correct or incorrect. You're thinking of what you feel is right. A lot of you walked in here this day, maybe had a conversation with someone, an argument with somebody, because you were telling them what you feel is right. What you feel is right. You're thinking of what you feel is right, I put here in my notes. But I want you right now to think with me. Can you look back in time of what you once thought was right? That you were willing to die for. Go back, BC, before Christ. When you thought a certain way, you swore by it, you lived by it, you stood by it, you were a faithful gang member. You said, I'm going to die for this street corner. You told that girl, I'll be with you forever and ever. And kisses and kisses. Because at that time, your thinking said that you would never leave her. I recall as I go back in my life, at one time I thought being a successful dope dealer, there was nothing wrong with it. Going to prison, I had to do the time. Can't do the time, we say don't do the crime. Things I did running with all these girls, because I was right. And I was going to live by what my mind told me that was right. But then one day, Jesus entered my life. The preaching of the gospel entered my ears. Straight out of prison on the back row of the church in Victor Outreach Salinas. And my thinking started to get challenged whether I was right or now maybe even wrong. My thinking was being challenged with me not even wanting it to be challenged. Because I was okay. I got out buffed out of the prison system. I was healthy. Swore up and down I was never going back. That's what my thinking told me when I got let out the first time. Did I go back the second time? Yes, I did. Even though my thinking said I would never go back to prison. Has your thinking ever been proven wrong? You were willing to fight for your right to party. Because you worked all week and now it was time to party. Your thinking said that was okay. Because you worked all week. The preaching would start taking place 23 years ago. And my thinking, the way I operated, everything about me started getting challenged. Something was taking place in my life that says, you could be wrong. You may be right. That's another song, but some of you guys didn't catch it. I started getting challenged. Because when I started hearing the word of God, faith started coming my way that I didn't have to stay in that same way of thinking. I didn't have to go back to prison for the third time. And the person, the Holy Spirit, was awakening my life to godly wisdom, to change the way I thought so that my actions would change and I wouldn't have to go back to prison. You're being challenged right now. The gospel, the uncut word of God, is challenging your life right now. I not forget when I entered the home 23 years ago that I was being challenged. My thinking, the way of life that I had been living for so many years, though even at times it was successful, the majority of time I wasn't successful. And as the gospel was being preached, my life for the very, very, very first time would start to become challenged to where I just might be wrong. It just may not be his fault and her her fault and mom's fault and dad's fault and for my upbringing. Faith started challenging my life that I didn't have to live that same old life and face the same old consequences, but the Holy Ghost was giving me a way out of the person that I was 23 years ago. An opportunity was being given to me by God Himself through the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. My thinking, my life was being challenged that it could change. But that I could not continue to do the same things and think that my life was going to change. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I look back in life now, 23 years, and wow, man. Some of the things I swore on were the most ridiculous things I ever could have even thought of doing. I feel like giving my testimony right now, the rated R one, XXX. Boy, you better go ask somebody. Brother Lalo and Hitman came a little. Boy, I want to give that rated XXX. Of what I thought was right. That I swore I would die like that. Because that's just the way it was. I was going to be like some of them church people that were weak. I look back in time. And I see how wrong I was. I'm able to look back and say, man, how could I ever have thought that was the right way? And that time I did that. How could I ever have thought that bringing, I'm going there. You want the pastor to go there? No, keep it PG? I keep it PG. Yeah, that's the crowd that's here. Yeah, we got a rated R, BC before crowd here this day. Amen? Yeah. Now they're claiming tell the truth, shame the devil, because they want to hear. You see, itchy ears want to hear rated XX stuff. That's part of that incorruptible, that dumb thinking. You want to hear some rated XX stuff behind the pulpit. Preach it. Shame the devil. Tell the truth. I've learned how to keep it down when on that. If I was sharing with the rehab, I would let it go. Everything. Amen. I'm trying to be polished, amen? I got a new tie on, a new shirt on right now. I'm trying to make it match the look, amen? Can you just look back in your life in a time where you thought you were so right, but you were so wrong? Your mom and dad said, what are you thinking? What are you doing? I ain't doing nothing wrong, Mom. I ain't doing nothing wrong, Dad. Because in your mind, you were right. You were right. And that's the problem with the church today. You think sin, a little bit of sin on the side, is still all right. When it says it nowhere in God's word. See, that's your thinking. That's not godly wisdom thinking. That's your thinking. I recall and look back in time of things that I thought was right and said, how could I have done that stuff? It didn't change until godly wisdom entered my ears and until I applied it. I had the opportunity 23 years ago to make a change, to make a shift, to make a new move in my life. Your transformation of your thinking not only allows you to recognize Jesus, I put here, but others to recognize Jesus within your life. See, right now, as you see, Brother Lalo, Brother Hitman came up here blasting, amen. You were able to say, nah, that's not Lalo. Well, that's not Hitman. That's Jesus within their lives. Your transformation of your thinking not only allows you to recognize Jesus, but others to recognize Jesus within your life, like within your marriage, within your children, family, boss, lost and bound. Need to see Jesus, need to recognize Jesus operating within your life. It's important that we apply God's wisdom, which is His word, within our lives. If you want transformation here this day, if you want change, you're going to have to apply God's word within your life. If you're looking for change here this day, if you're looking for your thinking to change, the Bible says that the thoughts of the Lord are higher than our thoughts. It's important that we apply God's wisdom, His word, within our lives. I'm going to read some quick scriptures. James chapter 2, verse 14 says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone?" That's a money faith. James chapter 2, verse 17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Woof. James 2, 20. How foolish. Can't you see? My mom and dad said, "No miras, amigo, que andas haciendo, hombre? No miras." Translated, my mom and dad, "You can't see what you're doing? You're killing us. You're destroying your life." But I couldn't see it because I was right. I thought mom and dad were old-fashioned. They weren't up in the times. And the Bible reads, how foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? James 2, verse 26. Check this one out. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. James 1:22, revelation that I've shared with the church before and getting ready to close. But don't just listen to God's word. We've all accomplished that here this day, amen? That's not enough though, but it starts there. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. The NIV translation says, you are deceiving yourself. Lord gave me this insight many, many years ago. It's one thing for us to be foolish, to be deceived by the work of the enemy when we were lost and bound. When we were lost and bound, yes, we were foolish, real foolish. Yes, we were deceived. Amen? But it's another thing. Here James was looking on to people that were coming and hearing the word of God. Amen, but weren't applying it. And he saw their lives going nowhere. He saw their lives being deceived as if they were not saved. It's one thing to be deceived when we're lost and bound through the lies of the enemy. It's another thing to be deceived in church, in Christ, by hearing the truth. You're hearing truth here this day. But what James is saying, if you don't apply the truth, you're foolish. You're allowing God's word of truth to deceive you when you don't apply it. That's heavy. It's one thing to be deceived by the lies of the enemy that he is the father of, but to be deceived and foolish by the truth of God's gospel simply because we don't apply it? So how many can say here this day that it's important that we apply God's word? Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and closing. So faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. I put here in my notes, God's word will always awaken your faith. Right now, each and every one of you present here this day, each and every one of you all present through watching through Facebook, your faith has been awakened by the hearing of the preaching of the good news, not about Pastor Charlie, but about Christ. Your faith has been awakened. That there needs to be an action to it. So my question here this day is, now that your faith has been awakened by the preaching of the gospel, are you going to apply it to your life? You're being challenged right now. And the reason we don't like taking a godly challenge is because we got to stop doing what we've been doing. And the reason it's easier, so to speak, to stay the same is because we already know how to do it well. We don't have to be stretched. We're already there. We're one in it. Jesus is challenging somebody here this day. He has awakened your faith by his truth that is able to set the captive free, but you're going to have to do your part. And part of that, we have a good turnout here this day, considering the virus, considering all that's taking place. We have new stickers up here in the front, and there's churches that are doing altar calls with people shoulder to shoulder. We're not going to do that. Amen. We're going to apply godly wisdom along with faith. Amen. When this virus clears and it's over with, we'll be here doing it like we used to do it. Amen. But right now, as we stand, come here, Hitman. Come here, Brother Lalo. Before you see a work that started my life in California. I'm not from Milwaukee, but I am now. I am now. Pastor Charlie ain't going nowhere. Pastor Charlie from Milwaukee. He'll be north side, he'll be south side, east side, west side. He's from Milwaukee. I'm not from Milwaukee. But these cats, they were from Milwaukee. Drug addicts. Why does Lalo hurt? He knows that the funeral he's going to could have been his funeral. Mm-hmm. Could have been Hitman's funeral. There's another shooting in town that took place the day after. Somebody getting hit 17 times. Funeral after funeral after funeral. The Bible says that death awaits us all. That death awaits us all. There's no way around that one unless the Lord beats us back to the punch, amen? And he comes back for the church before that. I don't know if it was Felipe or a point I heard that, you know, we can't live one day longer because we have an appointed time. But we do have the power to live a shorter life than we should by the decisions we make. It can happen to anybody. They didn't come to testify in the church. They came to go to a funeral with a person their age. There's an opportunity right now before you to change. There's an opportunity before you right now to change. And we all looking good. I know they kind of look good, but I look real good. Amen. They'll get it after the years that the anointing falls on them. Amen. Some Texans, some Milwaukee, a little bit of black, a little bit of white. It happens to every color. The enemy is not a respecter of people, amen? He don't care who it is, what side of town it comes from. But today, each and every one of y'all have the potential to be transformed, to have purpose within your life, to make a difference, not only within your life, but to be able to fight the battle of the giant called Goliath, that's you, to get past you. As Pastor Felipe says, to help somebody else. See, there's people that you've been called to help and save through Christ. But when we don't apply godly wisdom within our life, we will always fight the battle called self. We'll never get past ourself. We'll never get past ourself to help somebody else. Even if it's your blood brother, blood sister, your own mother, your own father, you will never get to a place to even help them. Wow. You have an opportunity, I mean a golden opportunity to have your life transformed, to be a vehicle that God can use to transform others. I'm going to make an altar call here this day. There's stickers up here. If you come with your child, I want you on the sticker, your child in front of you, not beside you, because I want to keep the social distancing here. There's some off the side of the walls, on both sides of the wall, in front of the red chairs and all around here in blue. I want you to find a spot. If an usher kindly says you need to move it over a little bit, move it over a little bit. Amen? Don't let him call me over there. Amen? We're going to have an altar call right now. The altar call of applying godly wisdom. Our faith has been awakened. You have heard the word of Christ. Amen. It's stirred. And now it's your part to say, Jesus, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to let Brother Lalo and Hitman go ahead and catch a spot down there, because I know they need to be with the Lord right now, with the funeral right around the corner in a few hours from now. I'm going to open up the altars here this day. Amen. If you're saying, God has spoken to me, my faith has been stirred, my faith has been awakened, I need to make a move. I need to make a move. It was said clearly today that I need to apply God's wisdom for my life here today. And I'm going to start today.
Right now, he's your money.